Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome. Do I have audio? Okay, I've got nothing coming through here. All right, there we go. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Thursday, June 2nd, 2022. Apparently, we have bugs in our system. We're going to get right to the our guest today, Paul McGuire. PaulMcGuire.us is with me right now, author of numerous books. It's been a long time since we had Paul on, so we're going to get right to him. Paul, how are you?
Doug, it's wonderful to be on your show again. I catch your show as often as I can, and it's just great to be on the air with you.
No, it's great to have you, Paul. All right. In the last time you were on, you were working on a new book, and of course, numerous favorites of mine, including A Prophecy of the Future of America, updated for the same title, 2016-2017, and then, of course, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. A very accomplished author. And, of course, back initially, I'm going to go back to The Prophecy of the Future of America, the initial book. I was reading through that. And essentially, you were outlining the coming American nightmare in Chapter 9 of that book. And expanding on that and into the additional book, Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017, and of course, The Greatest Battle, we see you really laying out what's happening today. So you had kind of at least in my mind, you had insight into the events of today. And today, now we're seeing this deliberate takedown. And folks, just very quickly before I turn it fully over to Paul, just very quickly, look, there's nothing that's happening by accident. Okay, nothing at all that's happening by accident. It's all planned. The destruction of the United States by Joey Six Plugs, by that vegetable in the Oval Office. You've got Congress that's a do-nothing Congress. You've got a crap Department of Justice that wouldn't know justice if it hit them in the ass. Okay, you've got a bunch of oligarchs worldwide. You got Klaus Schwab, that devil incarnate, saying, you know, you're gonna eat bugs and you're gonna own nothing and be happy. Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, whatever you want. You got Bill Gates thinking he's a doctor, passing out vaccine like Pez candy, and you got Fauci, that little garden gnome, out there saying, well, you know, the Department of Justice is just kind of saying that the CDC has the authority. The Department of Justice is giving the CDC authority to keep muzzling you. And then you've got the Ministry of Truth. Again, all of this written by Paul McGuire in the larger sense. It's going to the states. You think it's gone? It's not gone. You got a bunch of moron doctors pushing the transgender agenda, saying, oh, it's good to have puberty blockers. Let the kids decide what sex they want to be. There are two sexes. You either have outside plumbing, makes you a boy, or inside plumbing, makes you a girl. All right, that's simple as that. Anything in between is a mental illness. You got to open.
You're rolling, son.
I'm going to tell you, Paul, I'm pissed off because I've seen enough, I've had enough, and I'm wondering when Americans are going to have enough themselves. I want to know.
Right.
I want to know because I've had it up to here. I'm tired of people telling me, well, you know, hey, you know, what is truth? What is truth? There was a professor interviewed by Matt Walsh. If you haven't seen that clip, it's out there. I got to tell you. And he was offended by the question about what truth is. I'm not yelling at you, Paul. I'm just yelling because I've had it. I've had it as an American, as a male, and as a Christian and as an armed man. I've had it. You're not coming for my guns. You're not coming for my grandchildren. You're not coming for me. Well, you can, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to take as many of you out as I can. So, with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Paul.
Sorry. Doug, that was like, I'm a heavy caffeine drinker of espresso. That was like 30 cups of espresso in a drip into the straight to the bloodstream, passing the blood-brain barrier. But, you know, your response that you just gave, that high-voltage response, that should be the normal, the real new normal response by every single person in this nation who is patriotic, who is calls themselves a Christian, who believes in the Bible or Christian values or whatever. That should be the normal response. And to bounce off what you were saying, there is something acutely wrong in the heart of the American public, specifically a large percentage of the church, a large percentage of so-called conservatives, that includes Republicans. There's something desperately wrong in their hearts if they are not outraged. You know, there's a time to be appropriately morally outraged. And if you're living in the time zone that we're living in, and you're not appropriately outraged, then there's something wrong with you. So the question is, what is causing the suppression? Because I can tell you something. I know something about men simply because I'm a man. And by the way, I thought your academic lesson for sex education was very eloquent. That's really all you need to say in a classroom, basically. It gets rid of all the confusion, you know. But here's the thing. There's any man, and I'm talking to men, because men, I believe that men have a different responsibility than women. I'm not saying, you know, I believe men are better than women. I'm saying they have a different responsibility than women. And part of it is that warrior aspect, you know, that women don't have. I mean, you can argue till you're blue in the face, but, you know, I grew up with women. I married, you know, I've been working with women for my entire lifetime, and they have a genetic DNA response to certain situations that men don't have. Men have that intensity and that bravery and that courage. And, you know, I've heard some of your other guests say this, and I agree with them. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with sports. If you like football, that's great, or basketball, or hockey, or whatever you like, that's fine. But if that's your temple, if that's where you go to get your energy and your focus, there's something critically wrong, because this nation at this moment, you see, everything you said was absolutely correct. It was not even remotely up too high in terms of tone scale. It wasn't even remotely too high. In fact, I think you were underplaying it, because the crisis is so inevitable and it's coming at us and is among us so quickly, there's no other way to put it. Now, the thing I want to say is this. We know with 100% certainty what's going to happen in the next couple of days, weeks, months, and years. And it's a shorter and shorter period of time. You know, you made reference to my earlier books, and people, you know, I would always be called a conspiracy theorist. But if you look at the copyright date of my books, just about everything that I've said in those books, we're living in now. I was having a discussion with somebody late last night, because we're feverishly editing the final edit for Power from On High, my newest book. And I apologize to everyone who bought the book for a discount and is still waiting. And what happened, Doug, since it happened about the last time I was on your show. And I was on your show, and I don't remember whether the COVID just was taking off, but it was, I think it was just taking off. And I had completely written the book, and you know, those people that pre-ordered it, they were going to get it sent in the mail, and everything was fine. And then the COVID erupted. The reports about the alleged after effects of COVID erupted. The discussion of the economic crisis and COVID erupted. And the discussion of the digital currency promoted by I've tweaked his name a little bit because I think we need to pronounce his name in a manner that reflects his soul. So I prefer to call him Klaus Schwab instead of Schwab, Klaus Schwab. That man is a psychopath, a sociopath, as are many of these people. How they can go to bed at night knowing that they are, to whatever degree, responsible for the killing and the death or whatever of massive millions of people, and only God knows how many more people down the road are going to die because, according to many medical doctors, their immune systems have been, and this is amazing, the reports of these renowned medical doctors, their immune systems have been compromised in a serious manner. So where we are in history is this. If you do any minimal reading of history at all, just minimal reading or minimal watching of historical documentaries or even dramatic feature films that feature, you know, the Nazis and Adolf Hitler and the whole thing, all you have to do is look at how Hitler went from being kind of a drunk and a spokesperson to tiny audiences out in the street. And then in a very short period of time, Hitler has learned how to speak in this hypnotic, frenzied trance message, and this giant swastika signs behind him, and he's filling large sports stadiums, and the people are mesmerized by Hitler. They'll do anything he tells them to do, and in their eyes, they perceive Hitler as their messiah. And that happened in a very short period of time. So what does that tell us? It tells us how easily the American public or any given public are to external manipulation, whether it's mass formation, which is a technical term that I know that you are familiar with, social engineering or advertising, public relations, scientific mind control, whatever you want to call it, the public is very easy to manipulate when you use some, like, it's almost as simple as baking brownies in the oven, you know, one egg, a little bit of water or milk or whatever, you know, it's a very simple recipe to make brownies or chocolate chip cookies or whatever. Well, it's a very simple recipe to flip America into a full-blown totalitarian state. And if we look around us and we compare all the psychological factors, economic factors, geopolitical factors that are happening right now in America, and if we compare that to what happened with Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, we're step-by-step walking on the exact same path. And then, you know, it didn't take all that long after you began walking on the path that path led to the concentration camps, the re-education camps. And the next thing you knew, that people, Jews and Protestants, Catholics and others, people that were considered genetically not fit. They were all sent to the gas chambers where they thought they were getting clean showers, and they were killed in the gas chambers, which looked like showers. And then all the dead bodies, and through other mechanisms, the people that the Nazis captured were placed, their bodies were, their naked bodies were placed in the ovens, and the ovens were superheated, and their bodies disintegrated into ash. So you have these two death machines working, managed by the Nazis and the Nazi scientists. This was a scientific and technological operation. You were gassing to death millions of people, and you were baking to death in the ovens millions of people. So you end up with a Holocaust, and I'm going to guess that whatever the accurate number is, let's just say arbitrarily, it was 35 million people were gassed to death or baked in an oven to death. You know, that's a Holocaust. And that's nothing compared to the numbers of people that got massacred in communist China, massacred in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 in communist Russia, Cambodia, Cuba, and the other nations. There, they didn't kill a collective number of like 35 million people. If you add up all these communist totalitarian nation death tolls, because they lie about the numbers consistently, you have an approximate figure, and you have to calculate for the lying and the concealment, an approximate figure of all these communist nations that had these workers' paradise revolutions. You had about 275 million people that were starved to death, locked away in mental hospitals, shot to death, and killed and murdered in a variety of ways. So you have about 275 million people in a very short period of time whose bodies were disposed of like human garbage. And there were many unseen powers, unseen forces that publicly paraded around as if they were legitimate, decent, honest, and moral citizens, but privately they were giving the orders for the death machine to mass massacre all these people. Now, what does that have to do with America? You and I could sit down and in 30 minutes, if we were giving a lecture in a college classroom, you and I could sit down and present an airtight case at Yale or Harvard or whatever university, an airtight case for the fact that these mass massacres, these mass deaths indeed happened. Countless millions of people died and were slaughtered. Now, when you compare the sociological, geopolitical, psychological conditions of Nazi Germany with what's happening in America right now at this second, we are on a parallel track with what happened in all the communist revolutions and Nazi Germany. We are following in their footsteps step by step. So back to the beginning of the show where you expressed your thoroughly legitimate and thoroughly called for outrage. Because you see, there's something wrong. Any man or woman listening, whatever their belief system, if you can rationalize or justify this mass killing and suppress it in your personality, there's something you have been infected with an ideological, psychological virus. You've been infected with an ideological virus that is far more deadly, will kill far more people than any intensive biological weaponized virus. Because this psychological virus whether you want to call it a mass formation or social engineering or whatever. This thing, when it infects people, it passes from person to person through verbal conversations, through body language and facial expressions. It really picks up speed when you watch TV, mainstream TV or mainstream media, and you listen to the so-called newscasters that are total and complete sellouts. They have poured themselves out to spill out any propaganda, any lie, and they're lying and they're propagandizing to the American people. So the American people and in the European Union and Britain, et cetera, are in what could be called a collective trance state. That means they're not in their right mind. Their perception abilities are short-circuited. Their cognitive abilities are diminished. Their analytical abilities are crashing. And they cannot look at the reality all around them and come to the normal conclusion, the normal end game that people used to be. The average person used to be able to look at reality and very quickly assess what was going on, what was happening, and how fast it would happen. Now, after decades of social engineering, the average American has lost his or her ability to process those thoughts. And the consequence is they are like sitting ducks. And sitting ducks, you know, on a large cement barrier out in the open. And anybody who has the desire to, because these people have self-paralyzed themselves. They have castrated themselves intellectually and in a cognitive manner. They have completely lost their capacity to think independently, to react appropriately, and they have completely lost their capacity to even look into the near future and analyze the facts and make basic predictions of realistically where we're really going to be in a couple of months or a year. And unless we instantaneously reverse that trend by breaking or severing what we can call the paralysis factors, there are factors that are biological, psychological, social engineering, medication, and many other things. There are factors which are paralyzing millions of people, and they're immobilized. They're like deer caught in the headlights. And unfortunately, if the parents don't wake up, if the average law-abiding citizen doesn't wake up, if they don't wake up soon, by soon I mean yesterday, by soon I mean 10 years ago, if they don't wake up at least now at this late date, in their present state of paralysis, if you look at Germany and communist Russia, in their present state of paralysis, they are scheduled to die in various forms of mass annihilation. That's not an exaggeration. That's a sober projection based on analytical facts and a hypothesis that's rooted and grounded in historical precedent.
And if I can just interject this, you had laid this groundwork, this exact groundwork, almost a decade ago. Maybe not quite, but again, you know, a prophecy of the future of America, it's right here. I love this book. I loved it when it came out, and it's relevant today. And then, of course, the follow-up, as I showed you. And then The Greatest Battle. You had laid it out even more, as well as Escaping the Matrix, which I don't – it's in my library. But the fact of the matter is, what you just said there, okay, it's all laid out. You were one of the first describing exactly what we're seeing today. And you said something moments ago about Nazi Germany, about what happened with the communist calling of the Christians and the intellectuals and the other so-called undesirables. Today we have got, and I love your comment about the present state of paralysis, but today we've got Christians or people who say, yeah, I'm a Christian, who are facilitating their own demise. It's beyond, and that's what angers me the most. Well, there's a whole boatload of things that anger me right now, but you know, I'm looking at these Christians who say, well, you know, make excuses or refuse to act or love thy neighbor. We have to be tolerant. The hell we have to be tolerant. You know what? We are too damn tolerant right now. We should be intolerant. If you're a Christian, you should not tolerate perversity. You shouldn't tolerate the changing or the quote pausing. If you watch Matt Walsh's documentary or the teasers for it, we shouldn't tolerate medical doctors pausing puberty because let the 13, 12, 11, 10-year-old find their sexual identity. No, no, that's mental illness. And if you're a Christian who, if you're okay with that, or if you're some Lutheran or Episcopal, I'm not sure which, who's got a drag queen pastoral candidate, or candidate for pastor, and you call yourself a Christian, you're part of the problem. And you know what, Paul, one last thing, and I'm going to turn it back over to you because nothing else good is going to come out of this mouth right now. Here's the thing, okay? You know, the thing, Biden, you know, the thing. Here's the thing. I don't believe in my heart of hearts, and you know, I don't believe in my heart of hearts that we are going to be able to come to the table and talk anything through with these people. I believe your statement, present state of paralysis, that's mental, I believe. And I don't see us coming to any sort of peaceful coexistence here. Christian, non-Christian, purple, blue, black, green, I don't care what color, I don't care what race, gender. If your thought process is of that ilk, then I don't think we've got anything to talk about, nor can we talk about anything. Back to you, sir.
Well, in line with what you just said, before I forget, if you look at the copyright dates on my books going back, let's just be conservative, because my wife keeps criticizing me out of love, because she says, Paul, you can't tell people that you wrote this book 40 years ago, even though I did, and the copyright date says 40, you know, it was written 40 years ago. I said, but I wrote it 40 years ago. She says, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to believe you. So just make it generalized. Don't tell the people you wrote it 40 years ago, even though it's true. They will not believe you. So, okay, so I'll tell a modified story, which is also true, because I've been writing about all of this and everything that is happening now. I wrote about in precise detail, okay, and I wrote about it in precise detail. So you can take a book that I wrote called Who Will Rule the Future? A Resistance to the New World Order. And I don't have the book in front of me, but I would guess the copyright date is about 30 years ago. And there's other books I wrote before that, exposing the New Age movement, but it gets into all this stuff also. And those books were written 30 years ago. Not to mention the TV and the radio programs I was on, where I was talking about it. So I've been talking about this in explicit detail about what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, And that unless there was a total reversal in the consciousness and mindset of Christians and patriotic people and people who love freedom, unless they had a total transformation in their mindset, we were going, the one thing that I warned about over and over and over again was that we are moving into a totalitarian state. And, you know, you say that 40 years ago, you know, the answer was always, oh, he's a conspiracy theorist. I still get that. You know what, Doug? I don't give a damn if somebody calls me a conspiracy theorist.
Good.
I never give a damn. Okay, I never gave a damn. I don't give a damn. And I've spoken in churches, you know, big, big evangelical churches. I don't use the word damn, but I tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may. I don't back down. And they get really nervous. And some of these churches that I've spoken at, they're famous big churches. And it broke my heart. I heard about this about 2 weeks ago, and that was that this very famous, well-known, very large church in California, where I used to speak at their Sunday evening services and stuff. The pastor of that church and the other pastor, I guess there's two pastors in leadership, they agreed to accept critical race theory and all the other add-ons to critical race theory. And I'm asking myself, I remember the weird reaction I had when I preached on a Sunday night service there, I don't know, 20 years ago, and I deliberately gave, for me, a somewhat modest message in that I didn't back down on any of the controversial parts of the Bible, okay? But it was strictly on the book of Revelation. And I didn't know what the pastors were doing. I knew all these guys and stuff. I had the endorsement of the head pastor. But I didn't know what they were doing behind my back until I saw it aired on a national TV show, a Christian television network. And the whole time I'm speaking, they're looking nervous. They're looking at their watches. They're wiggling their feet like they have, you know, something wrong with them. They are embarrassed. They are, like, really, really uncomfortable with what Paul McGuire is saying. And that was Paul McGuire Mile, okay? Okay, so it doesn't surprise me. That was 20 years ago. Now I find out that one of the pastors I know, the other one I don't know, but there's been quite a shakeup in that church because they have embraced all the add-ons to critical theory. And the church is split in two over it. Now, my problem with that is quite simply, if you even have a minimal amount of education regarding what critical theory is, I mean a minimal, like do a 5-minute study on what critical theory is. I think, I haven't looked at it, but I think if you looked it up in Wikipedia, it would give you enough truth to figure out what it is. If you even did that most minimal amount of study before you taught it to your congregation, it's obvious from an historical fact, not my opinion, there's documentation all over the place. Critical theory was developed by Marxist cultural revolutionary professors who were trained and operating out of Moscow during the Communist Revolution. And then they snuck across the border and they set up the what was called the Frankfurt School of theological higher criticism in Frankfurt, Germany, okay? And their whole agenda was to flip America and the other Western nations into hardcore socialist, Marxist, communist states by educating Christians and pastors and seminary students, by indoctrinating them into believing that all the miracles of the Bible didn't happen. Nothing supernatural happened in the Bible, no virgin birth, no second coming of Christ, et cetera, et cetera. So the goal of the Frankfurt School theological professors was to undermine the Bible. And so an easy way to understand it, using the technique of hypercriticism, where you critique away, like you take a chisel into marble and you just start hacking away the marble rock into a meaningless rubble, okay? Criticism is nothing more than you hyper-criticize your target, which in this case, the agenda of critical theory is, number one, destroy the American family. Number two, destroy American family values. Number three, destroy any concept of a moral absolute right and wrong. Number four, destroy any concept of nationalism. Number five, destroy any belief in patriotism, okay? I mean, basically, critical theory is designed to infiltrate, penetrate, and destroy America from within. And anybody who spends 5 minutes researching that can find verification for my assertion. So these pastors are now, they moved from rejecting the Word of God, and now they've slid all the way across the table into being essentially card-carrying Marxists, radical socialists, and communists. And so I mean, that when you wipe away the veneer, when you take off the mask, when you take off the camouflage, when you take a sponge or whatever and wipe off the you know what, the excrement from the windshield, you see that what critical theory is, it's a sophisticated mechanism for igniting a full-blown communist, Marxist, totalitarian revolution by igniting the revolution in schools and media, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why, you know, you can't get any of these Marxist professors fired, because they came from Frankfurt, Germany. They migrated from Frankfurt, Germany, financed by the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, and then they infiltrated the American educational system. So whether it's sex education, you could name any number of belief systems that are diametrically attacking Christian values and a belief in Jesus Christ. And the root of it all is critical theory. So how do you end up with evangelical pastors and the entire Southern Baptist denomination? The Southern Baptist denomination and all the other denominations and all these pastors and all these pastors at megachurches that are giving the green light to teaching hardcore cultural revolutionary Marxism, socialism, communism, and a totalitarian state. How can that happen? There's no way it can happen. So what these men have decided to do is they have not only betrayed the gospel of Jesus Christ ideologically and theologically, they have gone into a full-blown betrayal of a biblical worldview, a full-blown betrayal. They have now become, instead, they can call, their title could be preacher and pastor and minister and evangelist. Those titles are meaningless. What they have become by their own will and choice, what they have transformed themselves into by their own will and choice, they have transformed themselves into what the Apostle Paul called deceitful workers, false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing. Because the young people who sit in the classrooms in these churches, the adults, the older adults, every demographic and age group that's being educated by these pastors and these pastoral teams are being indoctrinated in hardcore Marxism and communism. And one by one, they're flipping the students and the young Christian people. They're flipping them. They're transforming them. They're radicalizing them into being communist agents. And you know, people might say, well, I don't believe that. You know what? Shut your mouth, get off your ass, and do a little reading and know what the blank you're talking about. Because when you utter with your lips like some buffoon or horse's ass, and if you get offended by me using the term horse's ass, Jesus and the Apostle Paul and one of the prophets in the Old Testament, they use the word horse's ass in the Bible. So if they use the word horse's ass in the Bible, I think I can use it in the appropriate manner. They have become the mouths of the horses' asses, and they are speaking destruction and death to America. And what they're doing with their words and their teaching is they're seeding this oncoming generation into becoming communist revolutionaries. And what will happen inevitably, just like the sun rising in the morning, what will happen inevitably is these people will become like the Hitler Youth and the Communist Youth. They will be the leaders of a cultural revolution, and the spearhead, the focal point of the cultural revolution is Marxism, communism, and Hitlerian National Socialism. So, you know, what you said in the beginning of the program wasn't even remotely too emotionally charged. You just said accurately what's happening.
Well, you know, I learned a lot from your book, The Greatest Battle. You know, what we're seeing today, all right, just as I look across the landscape, you know, I see more, and Paul, this really yanks my chain, okay? I see more people turning out to hear the verdict of the Johnny Depp Amber Heard civil trial, okay, than I see turning out to anything more important on a more personal and national scale. They have dumbed this population down on purpose. Right. And you wrote something here that I thought was so prophetic. I wanted to bring this up, and we could talk for literally for days, you and I, on you know, multiple programs. But on page 169 of this book, and folks, if you go to paulmaguire.us, and by the way, follow Paul on Twitter at Radio Maguire. Okay, the links will be in the program description box. But page 169 on this book, The Greatest Battle, which is on your website, by the way. Folks, if you go there, make sure you take advantage of the book special for the Hagman Report viewers and listeners. But page 169. Hang on. I'm going to get to it. All right, here it is. You have the DNA of God, and you expand on that, of course, and the fact that there are individuals attempting to hijack or change that. How prophetic, in light of what we've seen over the past couple of years since you've been on the program last, and the findings that you mentioned earlier with respect to the injecticide and the different things that they're attempting to do with our DNA. So hats off to you. And folks, make sure you pre-order his upcoming book, but more equally important is to get his last book, The Greatest Battle. Read that and expect a blockbuster in his next book. Paul, go ahead, brother. I don't want to take your time up, but you're making too much sense here. People are going to be confused. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, they are going to be confused. But you said something of great importance. The only reason that, first of all, you know, and anybody in your audience that is aware, which is probably a fairly large percentage, they know, your listening audience knows, that our nation is under full-blown attack. And the primary methodology of the attack is psychological warfare through the media. Distraction, repetition, keeping the people's minds occupied with an endless parade of meaningless, titillating stupidity, like, you know, Johnny Depp, and before that it was that other actor who was the comedian who used to mock Trump, and it's one after another. It's just, it's designed to make you dumber. It's designed to occupy your mind with trivia for the hidden agenda that when you're dumber and your mind is obsessed with trivia, it's much easier to mold and shape your brain and your thinking and your intellectual mechanisms. This couldn't have happened. When I was a kid in elementary school, you know, it had its problems, don't get me wrong. But what we're seeing happen now, to the level that it's happening now, couldn't have happened when I was in elementary school, because there was still that remnant, that leftover of both parents, grandparents, and children and students who came from homes where they still had the ability to think rationally, analytically, logically, so on and so forth. The tragedy is we have now moved into the future, and those abilities that we used to take for granted, like you know, analyzing, deciding what's right, what's wrong, and other things, those things have all been demolished out of the human consciousness. They've been removed. But I want to address something very important. You know, I always pray before I do these programs, and I don't want to make a big deal about that. I got up at 3 a.m. and prayed, and because I want to deliver a powerful intellectual message, a relevant message, a message that's connected to history and science, et cetera, et cetera. But I also want to be aware of the spiritual dynamic behind it. So to make this a simple concept, behind all the technological, scientific, political, geopolitical conflicts and mechanisms that you and I were discussing, behind that, in the invisible realm, which is not some funky religious word, the invisible realm describes another dimension that every physicist would agree with. Now, decades ago, physicists did not believe in an invisible realm or a fourth dimension or whatever. They mocked it. They laughed at it. But ever since the takeoff of quantum physics and other sciences, and even the research of Nikola Tesla, they have all affirmed in the reality of a dimension beyond the physical dimension. So we're operating on a multiplicity of levels, but invisibly all around us, and I mean this across the country and across the globe, invisibly all around us is another, well, so there's a total of 13 dimensions, 11 to 13, depending upon who you ask. And so there's between 11 and 13 dimensions. That's where Tesla pulled the energy, his infinite source of energy. All Tesla did was develop a very inexpensive technology, which allows him to drill an oil well, I'm speaking in vernacular. It allows Tesla, the original Nikola Tesla, to drill an oil well deep into the ground, into another dimension, and pull out an infinite supply of infinite energy that could power everything on planet Earth for a zillion years. But you see, the people who really own this planet, they're like vampires. They have to feed off the energy of human souls, and they have to feed off the energy that they've stolen from the masses and the people. So in doing that, they have structured the economy and the banking system and other Federal Reserve, et cetera, all those institutions, as you know, Doug, it turns out that our entire global economic system is owned by just two multinational corporations own every dollar, every asset, every piece of real estate on planet Earth. And the name of those two monopoly corporations are, the first one is Vanguard. No, excuse me, the second one is Vanguard. The first one is BlackRock. And BlackRock and Vanguard own everything. So no matter what you, and when I say everything, they own all the mainstream media. They own all the newspapers. They own all the gasoline energy companies, the solar panel companies. They own every bit of the mainstream media. They own the health industry, the vaccination industry. They own everything. And when you look at the chart, which you've probably seen, and I'm including the chart in my new book, Power from On High, when you see the chart, their ownership, they own everything. And what people don't understand, because they've been dumbed down. So in their dumbed down state of consciousness, they buy the Forbes edition, you know, of the 50 top billionaires in the world. And, you know, like the biggest billionaire has like $55 billion or something. But that's a lie. That's peanuts. That's not even a fraction of what these super billionaires own. Their money goes back centuries. Their money goes back to ancient England in the 1600s, the 1500s, and to Venice in the 1400s. And it goes back further than that. So they have earned interest and the expansion of wealth because they've held on to their wealth for, let's say, 1,000 years. So the actual amount of money that these international banking families own, the globalist elite, that's who they are, the globalist elite or the Luciferian elite, they own what they really own. You'll never find out in any paper like Forbes or anything, because they own trillions of dollars. That's at the minimum. And I've come across some research which has suggested that the ownership of some of these private international wealthy families is in the hundreds of trillions of dollars. The hundreds of trillions of dollars. And people say, well, that can't be. Well, it can't be if your mindset is locked into the stupidity channel. Okay, you got to understand, this is wealth with compounded interest. This is the wealth of kings and queens and emperors and pharaohs and et cetera, et cetera. And they pass on their system, which is Mystery Babylon, from century to century. And here we are in this century. And it shouldn't be a surprise, using simple mathematics, that they hide their money because they own the media, and they hide their money by diversifying the ownership. But some of these people and some of these families own individually as a family, they own hundreds of trillions of dollars. Now, they're not feeding the poor with it. And then they create a bogus crisis. They have many bogus crises, like the artificial crisis of global warming, the artificial crisis of manufacturing the weather, the artificial crisis of a cashless society. And then the next thing that's going to happen, as you know, and by the way, I didn't know the trillions of dollars thing until about a year ago. But a lot of what I'm talking about now, I wrote about 30 years ago. And if you don't believe me, look at the copyright date. And it's not because I'm such a genius. It's because, you know, I watched other things on television besides, you know, those music programs. And, you know, I fight against dumbing myself down. Okay, so these people have organized the globalist elite, and they also own the technology. So they own also your DNA. If you look at the contracts that they had secretly written up 100 years ago, the average American is really, they did it illegally, is not a free citizen. The average American is a paid and bought for asset of these powerful financial conglomerates. And so that's where we are. And people better wake up. So what's on the horizon? What's on the horizon is right now they are transforming and reconfiguring the DNA and the genetic code of mankind on a planetary level. What that does is many things. But one of the things it does is that if they have rewired your DNA, your genetic code, according to their blueprint, then you are no longer, in their minds, you are no longer legally and technically a free human being. You are just like any other product. You actually have a barcode. And if you were to look at your DNA cells under an electron microscope, it would have the chain of normal DNA, but interspersed with the chain of normal DNA, you would see the names of DNA that are man-made created, like luciferase, after Lucifer, and the phosphorus content of this DNA that glows in the dark. You are not technically and legally a human being. So where we're going in all this is there's two types of, quote, human beings right now on planet Earth. One human being, well, let's talk about the first human being. The first human being consists of all those people whose DNA and genetic code was created by God, and it was passed on to human beings who were genetically real men and real women. And they passed on their DNA for thousands of years. So you and I that have not had our DNA corrupted or modified, our DNA comes directly from the genetic code of God. That's why it says in the Bible, and God created them in the image of God. God created them both male and female. So them is male and female. God is saying in Genesis that he created mankind in his own image, and he created mankind in his own image as male and female. That means genetically, anyone who's truly 100% authentic human being, is their DNA code is an uninterrupted stream that comes directly from the creator. That's one category of human being. In the other column, there's the second category of human being. This human being gets his or her DNA not from God, not from the Creator. Their DNA has been passed on through thousands of generations, and their DNA comes directly from either through the interspecies breeding of the Rephaim or Nephilim in Genesis 6, where the fallen angels mated with human beings, created the hybrid species of Nephilim or Rephaim, and these human beings are genetically modified beings. Because they're genetically modified beings, they are no longer technically, they cannot be called legally, technically, genetically, or biologically, they can't be categorized as human beings. They are genetically categorized as an artificial being, or what is known as a synthetic human being. And for short, these people that have non-human DNA in them are called synths, S-Y-N-T-H-S.
All right, Paul McGuire, you're going to have to stop you right there. I can't believe how quickly time flies. Folks, go to paulmcguire.us. take advantage of the specials that he's created for Hagmann Report listeners and viewers. PaulMaguire.us. Paul, thank you. Thank you so much. God bless. Good night.